thank you, and I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Would you turn in your Bible with me this morning to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. I thank you for watching today, and I hope that the class is a blessing to you. I appreciate you watching every Sunday morning. We've been talking about the revelation of mysteries that are in the Scripture, and I have no intention of trying to deal with every mystery that is referred to in the Scripture. And I probably couldn't, even if I wanted to. I want to talk to you about the mysteries that pertain to us, the Gentiles, the mystery that pertains to a revelation that's given to the Apostle Paul. And all of this is in view of the salvation of individuals. Paul said to Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The word of truth in 2 Timothy 2:15 is a reference to the gospel. Now, we make it a reference to the Bible because the gospel's in the Bible, but when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said in chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." So the word of truth in the context where it's used is the gospel itself. Now there's good news throughout the Scripture, and then there's bad news in the Scripture, but the good news we're concerned about is the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. So when he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," he's making a reference to dividing off the gospel that is preached by the Apostle Paul from that is preached by Peter, and so forth and so on. There isn't anybody listening to my voice that could be saved today by the gospel of Acts chapter 2, nor Mark 16. You cannot be in the church, which is the body of Christ, through any means other than the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1 that God gave him and he died for our sins in order that he might deliver us from this present evil world. So we're talking about a mystery here that is associated with the church, and that church is the body of Christ. And so in today's Bible class and the weeks to follow, however long it takes, I want us to talk about the church of Acts chapter 2 compared to the church of Ephesians 3 or Ephesians chapter 1. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." He specifies you Gentiles. Verse 2, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward." Now, go back with him, turn back to chapter 2, verse 11. The Gentiles to whom he's referring in Ephesians 2:11, the Gentiles are referred to. "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh." Now you'll have Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 2. Now turn to Galatians and look in Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 14, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all," that is, before the Galatian believers, "If thou, Peter, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" And I might say to you preachers, if there happen to be any listening, why would you want to compel a Gentile in this age to live as the Jews? Verse 15, "We who are Jews by nature," Peter and Paul, "we who are Jews by nature and not sinners the Gentiles, So then there are Jews by nature, and there are Gentiles by nature, which is according to the flesh. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12, that at that time past of verse 11, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens. Why were they without Christ? Because they were aliens. They were not allies, they were aliens. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Somebody said, well, they were without Christ because they were unbelievers. Somebody said, well, they were without Christ because they weren't saved, and on and on and on. Why not say what the Scripture says? What does the Scripture say? Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, had no hope, and without God in the world. If they would have allied themselves with Israel, they would have then been in the covenants of promise, and they wouldn't have been without Christ as they were at that time. In fact, Paul went to the Jew first, and those assembled with the Jews. He went to the Jew first, and those in the covenants of promise, which had to do with the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, he went into the synagogue. Who would be in the synagogue? Jews, Jewish proselytes, Gentiles that feared God. They would have been ally with Israel, and they would have been involved in the covenants of promise that God made pertaining to those that were allied with Israel and blessed the seed of Abraham. And yet, these Ephesians, to whom this letter is addressed, were not ally with Israel. They did not go into the synagogues. They did not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were idol-worshipping, atheistic rascals who cursed the seed of Abraham, and they were not in the covenants of promise. Now, they're Gentiles in the flesh. Now, turn to Ephesians 3 again. Ephesians 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, then this age that we now live in is given unto us. It pertains unto us. There is a coming age that pertains to the Gentiles that bless Israel. Compare Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, the reference to the second coming of Christ, look at verse 31. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The kingdom that is 1,000 years long, the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years of Revelation chapter 20. That kingdom is prepared for the Gentiles that bless the seed of Abraham. Now, there isn't any getting around. If you know your Bible, if you know anything about your Bible, if you study your Bible rightly divided and believe the Bible means what it says, you cannot miss this fact. These Gentiles that bless Israel in their time of trouble, which is called the tribulation or called the 70th week of Daniel, these Gentiles that bless the Israelites, the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, will go into the kingdom for having done so. They are not aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Those that curse Israel in that day and fight against Israel in that day, God will curse when He comes again, and His wrath will fall upon them. But in our particular case, we are given a period of time that is unknown in the Old Testament Scriptures. It's called the dispensation of the grace of God, and it's given unto you Gentiles. It is given unto you in order that you may be able to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior without the seed of Abraham, without Israel, without the Jews, without blessing them. It is a time when the curse that should be upon you was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and He suffered and bled and died for you. Therefore, by what He did for you at Calvary, you Gentiles who deserve absolutely nothing but wrath can receive glory and salvation by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, I realize that the things that I'm saying and I'm going to continue to say will go against the grain with some religious people and some religious leaders. There are a lot of people today that are religious leaders that are crooks. They take advantage of those who study their Bible rightly divided and get the truth out of there. They take advantage of certain truths which they can preach to their denominational system and receive glory for having done so. I know a man today that the first time I ever saw this man, he was a interdenominationalist, so to speak, although a Baptist. He had received a doctor's degree from an interdenominational school. He went to an interdenominational school. And this man was doing evangelistic work. And it didn't make any difference to him whether the church was Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or whatever. He went into those churches and preached unto them. But there came a time in his life when he was backed against the wall, and when he was backed against the wall, he took a stand, and he became extremely Baptist. But since that time, he has taken advantage of the writings of such men as E.W. Bullinger, Cornelius Stamm, and on and on. He's taken advantage of truths out of those scriptures pertaining to the gospel that's committed for this age, and he's used those to his advantage, exalting himself in the eyes of many of his students and whatever, and on, while he puts down the people that believe those truths as being Bullingerites, hyperdispensationalists, dry cleaners, and on. So I just yawn real big and go on about my business. I mean, I can know when a man is being crooked in his means by studying the Word of God. Now, there are some Ephesians here in Ephesians chapter 3 that were presented truth that was designed for them and had never been known under the sons of men before it was revealed through the Apostle Paul. Now, this truth, verse 6, that the Gentiles who were not in the covenants of promise, Gentiles who had not been in the commonwealth of Israel, Gentiles who had been aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, that these Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. In other words, by believing that Jesus Christ died for their sins, by trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, believing that gospel, they became heirs with and in the same body with Paul, Timothy, Titus, and so forth and so on. They became fellow heirs with the Thessalonians, Corinthians, Galatians, and Romans. How? By the gospel, even though during the time covered in the book of Acts, they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They cursed the seed of Abraham and didn't even believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet, they have now become part of the church which is the body of Christ, the church with the body of Christ being there in Acts 9, 10, 11, on and on, through Acts 28. The body of Christ is there. Paul is in the body of Christ. Timothy is in the body of Christ. The Corinthians were in the body of Christ. And these Gentiles become a part of that one body by the gospel, not by baptism, not by going down into a watery grave in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. No. They are a part of the body, they're fellow heirs, and a part of the same body by the gospel. In the name of all that's decent, and in view of the fact that the Scripture says that, why will certain preachers insist that you cannot be a member of the church unless you're baptized in water? That's ridiculous. There is a church which is called the body of Christ, and this church which is called the body of Christ is made up of Jews that believed the gospel of Christ, Gentile proselytes, circumcised, that believed the gospel of Christ, Gentiles who weren't circumcised but feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, worked righteousness by blessing the seed of Abraham, and now by those that were not even in the covenants of promise, had not even been believers in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but when shown the truth, believed it, and have become members of the church, which is the body of Christ. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, a reference here to some things pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul wanted these Ephesians to know. Now, verse 19, one of the things he wanted them to know and prayed that they might know, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, turn to 1 Peter. We're talking about the church, which is his body, and then we're going to talk about a church that is a nation. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and notice in verse 7, 1 Peter 2 verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, even of them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you, these believers to whom he writes, this church formed, Acts 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now that's a nation. How do you know it's a nation? Because God said it is. He said in verse 9, an holy nation. So, this church that is referred to in the context is national. But the church, which is the body of Christ, is spiritual. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with one hand and Colossians chapter 3 with one hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Colossians chapter 3. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, for as the body, reference to the human body, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. This church, which is called the body of Christ, is a spiritual body of believers. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ," as in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "have put on Christ." Verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. You are one in Christ Jesus." In other words, water baptism cannot change anything about your physical nature, nor your nationality. The church, which is the body of Christ, is a spiritual body of believers. And the Gentiles in this age that have believed the gospel have been placed spiritually into a spiritual body made up of Paul, Silas, Timothy, the Thessalonians, Corinthians, and Galatians, and so forth, that believed the same gospel that we believe today. Now, I've got a chart on the board up here. Very quickly, I want you to think about something with me. Let's just say back here, these lines represent the Egyptians. There were a group of people that was in Egypt, and they were crying unto God, and God heard their cry, and God sent Moses unto these people here. And Moses went to those people with something that I'll call good news, and he told them about redemption. He told them, on the 10th day of the first month, shut a lamb up and keep that lamb shut up until the 14th day of that month and sacrifice that lamb. You're to take the blood of the lamb and you're to put it on the doorpost and over the door, and you're to get inside your houses. And this night, the death angel is going to come through here, and if he sees that blood, he will pass over you. And so these people believed in the blood of a four-legged lamb, which represented the Lord Jesus Christ, and so they sacrificed a lamb. I'm going to let these lines here represent that nation of individuals who sacrificed a lamb, and they're redeemed by that lamb on the first month, 14th day of the month. And so they put the blood, and then the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that these people were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It is the Red Sea, so I'm letting this represent the Red Sea. These people believed in redemption. They believed in the shedding of blood. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And so they're redeemed by the blood. They're baptized in the Red Sea, and they go out from the Egyptians, they go out into the wilderness. Now, this is a nation, and this nation is referred to in the book of Exodus. Turn to Exodus and look in Exodus chapter 19. In Exodus chapter 19, Moses goes up unto the Lord in Mount Sinai, and God tells him to go unto my people and tell Israel some things. Verse 4, he said, "You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you'll obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So God redeemed Israel out of Egypt unto himself, and holy people and holy nation. They were redeemed by the blood of a lamb and baptized in the Red Sea. I'm going to come over here and I'll say this represents the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Israel as a nation had gone into apostasy to the extent that Paul refers to the religion of the Jews. And so the book of Malachi is written unto them. They were offering corrupt sacrifices unto the Lord, and on and on and on. And so Jesus Christ came, as Moses came back here, Jesus Christ came over here, and he came unto 12 men, and they're called a church in Hebrews chapter 2. And he told them about sacrifices and whatever. And so in Acts chapter 2, a man selected by the Lord to preach unto them, and his name is Peter. And so he preached unto them, and he told them about a lamb. John the Baptist had pointed him out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so they recognized Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed, and so these people here were redeemed by his blood. In Acts chapter 2, there are 3,000 of them. In Acts chapter 4, I believe it is, there are 5,000 of them, and they're redeemed by blood. Just as these back here are redeemed by the blood of a lamb, these are redeemed by the blood of a lamb. Just as these back here are baptized, these over here are baptized with the baptism of repentance. And as these went out, these went out. They went out into the wilderness. These go out into the wilderness of the Gentiles. And I'll say this represents the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was a rebel and an unbeliever, and God preached the gospel that Jesus Christ had died for his sins, and Paul was saved, and through him comes the body of Christ, which is a spiritual body. It is not national. This back here is national. Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and so forth. They are a nation. You read it in 1 Peter chapter 2. And he said, "You're a peculiar people. You're an holy nation." And on. And they're redeemed out of a nation that had gone into apostasy. They're redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Lamb of God. They're baptized with the baptism of repentance. And yet, the Apostle Paul over here is saved without that gospel they believed, and he's saved without the baptism they believed in, and on, and through the ministry given unto him, a church is formed, which is called the church, the body of Christ. It is a heavenly body. It is not a national body. It is a spiritual body. Now, our time is gone for today. One thing, keep in mind. Even you can be saved by the grace of God if you'll trust and believe that Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins at Calvary. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and God will receive you.